Can you hear me now again? I apologize that I just the phone just died again. I wonder if they're having the phone and the TV signal on the same system and their signal is just failing. So can you hear me now again one more time? I apologize for this confusion tonight. Just let me know that you're there so I'll continue.
We can hear you.
Can I come off of mute, please? Okay, great. Thank you. So let's reverse the roles on this measurement, on analytical. If it hurts us when somebody else dismisses us, when we need to be right and we make somebody else wrong, what does it do to them? What do you think? Can you feel it? When we are strongly opinionated and we need to be right, and we may in fact be right, but so what? Because if in our being right, we're not only making someone else wrong, we are crushing their self-esteem. However, this particular thought process I wrote in the book, I've seen marriages blown apart over what's the correct topping for a pizza, pepperoni, or sausage. And a client who was now divorced said, it was a bagel. Actually, it was a bagel. Analytical does not distinguish the seriousness of the topic. When we are obsessively thinking and need to be right, it needs to be right about everything. Because until it's fixed, until it's solved, the world's on tilt. Has anybody seen the video, It's Not About the Nail? Probably should say, is there anybody who hasn't seen it? Because it's all over the place. If you haven't seen it, go on to YouTube or Vimeo, I think is where it's located, Vimeo, and just type in It's Not About the Nail and just have a great laugh about intrinsic validation of the woman who's got a nail in her head and her husband's trying to fix her and it's not about the nail. Just have some fun with that. So whether we are right or wrong, if we're crushing another human being, there is really no value. So for those of you, like me, who have a red analytical, who can see all the problems in every situation, and the world's on tilt until it's fixed, let us all gather tonight and let go of our need to fix itness. Let's just let it go tonight. Because this is really crushing people around us. It just robs them of their energy, their creativity. We're draining. We're absolutely draining to be around. So that's the measurement analytical. Now, methodical is like analytical, except for it's purely measuring how open we are to somebody else's ideas. How open are we, or how closed are we? When methodical turns orange, it can go in one direction or the other. If it's, we call it over-focused, we're very closed. On the other hand, we can be so open that we're called an early adopter. And we might jump into things before they're proven, and we can get hurt by them. Consistent, the fifth measurement, and I'll be done here in a moment with this graph, consistent is asking, how do we respond when things get in the way of our ideas? Can we set a schedule and stick to it? So we have taken a big ugly. We've taken something we've been putting off, and we've scheduled it. Today is Tuesday, so we've scheduled it on Friday. We do it on Friday because Friday's far enough away that it's safe, but it's close enough that we can feel like it's still within distance, and we're committed to doing it on Friday. Absolutely, 10 o'clock on Friday morning, I've got 4 hours blocked out, I'm going to do it. This measurement, when it turns orange, tells us that when we get to Friday morning at 10 o'clock, this thought process is going to probably give us several other important things that need to be done to convince us not to do this. They'll probably be important things. But it helps us justify. We can feel good about the fact we're doing something important, and we get to put this now off till Tuesday, which is a safe distance away, but yet close enough we can feel good about it. If you've got an orange consistent, next time you get to one of these moments, just do it. Just do it and feel how wonderful it feels to have that thing off your plate, done, finished. And last is loyalty. Just ask, how do we respond when people are breaking the rules? This is generally balanced, but if it's orange, there's a risk that you might be a little autocratic, forceful, or a little too lenient in the application of the rules when it comes to managing another person, not yourself, but somebody else. Well, these are the six measurements of discipline and structure. I would like you, for those of you who have a copy of the book, to have a reading assignment this week. Some of you have read this. I go back and read it again. It's at the very beginning of this chapter on mental creation. It's about the House of Horrors. I just want you to go read it. It's on page one, I'll give you a page number here, 130, The Day I Begin a New Life. This particular section is designed to help us get an idea of how noisy this place can be in our mind. So much swirling around, so much resistance. These thoughts are so powerful. They run our life. They often run a person's life. Resistance to structure, resistance to authority, constantly obsessively thinking, needing to be right, resisting other people's ideas, having a hard time keeping things scheduled. You can start to get a feel for how this could actually control our lives if we've got challenges in this area called discipline and structure. I want to give you just a couple practices tonight. Some of these you heard about. A few of you have done some of them, and this week your assignment is to actually do them, actually do these two assignments. The first one is called letting go of the need to be right. Now, you may not need to be right. It's a possibility that you choose your battles carefully. But what you want to do is pick a person who is the one that's got the greatest risk of being adversely impacted by a need to be right. It could be a spouse, a companion, a child, a good friend, a coworker. Just pick that person out. I'm pulling from page 158 and 59 in the book, and also in quality number 4 of your intentional creation studio. The need to be right is one of the sections. You can listen to it there as well and review these instructions. I just want to take them just a little deeper for a moment tonight, because I want to set this up for you. I want you to set a time to meet with this person, and I would block out a good hour or an hour and a half. Time that's peaceful, there aren't children around and lots of other noises. I would not do this in a restaurant. It would not be appropriate. It needs to be in a quiet, private place. I would make a tent card. You fold a piece of paper vertically so it's long, and I would write on that card systemic thoughts. Systemic, that system with an ick on the end. Systemic thoughts. I'd take that with me. Now you sit down. Not knee to knee, but facing this person. If you're on a couch, turn your body all the way around and face them. Have the systemic thoughts on like a coffee table or an end table. So they're in between you, but they're off to one side. Now, this will be one of your biggest power sessions ever. You were practicing power sessions this last week. This is a power session. You want to come prepared for it? Preemptively prepared so that you don't react to anything that's said. There'll be a real temptation to do so. You sit down with this person and you'll say, I've been going through a coaching program. Part of that coaching program is taking an assessment. My assessment shows that I spend a lot of time thinking. Now, they smile. They may smile by now. Now, the risk of thinking a lot is I may get really attached to my ideas. Point to the systemic card. What's it like for you when I surrender to those thoughts? What's it like for you when I surrender to those thoughts? And then just listen. The only thing you really want to say are things that encourage someone to talk. Well, tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Is there anything else that would be important for me to know? It would really serve me if you were just straight up with me and told me that your experience. And listen, there's a very good chance that they're going to say something that's going to push a button. you know, last Tuesday when you said you'd be home at 5, then you'd come home till 6, then you said this was happening and that was happening, and all of a sudden you're going, that's not what I said, that's not what happened. Remember, this is their experience. And intrinsic validation is not about us. We've stepped into their world. So all we do is ask them more about that. Well, share with me what that was like for you. Please tell me more about that. And when they've shared, and they're done, you simply want to say, thank you, I'll be working on that one. Thank you, I'll be working on that one. That's it. Really simple. Now, just know that almost everyone is biting their tongue till it bleeds, because we want to say something. So make a note on your notes for tonight, write 12 to 24. It's 12 to 24 hours. The risk is that your thoughts, remember, they're obsessive. They're going to be thinking. They're going to be playing over and over and over and over and over and over and over what was said and trying to make sense out of it, trying to fix it, trying to make it right. That's all they're doing. They're just thinking obsessively, thinking. Chances are, if you're not careful, in the next 12 to 24 hours, you'll sit down with this person and say, I really appreciate you sharing with me so wonderfully. That really was helpful. The only thing I was concerned about, you said last Tuesday I did this, and that's really not quite the way it happened, and at least that wasn't my intention, and pretty soon we're needing to be right again. That's all we're doing. It sounds like passive-aggressive, but we're just needing to be right, so we let it go. Absolutely let it go. Have some fun with this exercise. Because I think it's important for us to know what it's like for other people to live life next to us when we are not conscious. It will motivate us to be more conscious in those moments so that we can let go of the need to be right. Now, in both the Intentional Creation Studio and the book, we take this a little further. Finding the good in somebody else's idea. This is really hard to do. Somebody has an idea that opposes ours, and we feel really strongly about ours. You must preemptively prepare for this moment. This is when we step back from our idea, which is just an idea, even though in our mind it's a done deal, like somebody's trying to change history. We step back from it. We step into that person's world and we listen to what they're saying until we find something good in their idea. Something good. Now, I've shared several times with you when we've gone through these principles, if you have been here before, I've shared that it's surprising that when we do find one thing that's good, we'll probably find many others. The reason why we're blinded to those ideas is the part of our brain that would even be willing to look has been impaired by our need to be right. We can't see it. But when we care to step back and focus and find something good, we could find a lot of good. And when we find good, this is what I want you to say this week. What I like best about your idea is. That's it. What I like best about your idea is. And then share what it is. Share what it is that you like best. I was just in a meeting a little while ago, and we actually did this. You know what I like best about what you shared was this. I found the good in his idea. This particular situation I wasn't in total agreement with, but I was about that piece. And that brought the walls down, because a person's idea, remember, is tied to their self-worth. We find good in them. We find good in their idea. We find good in them. Walls come down. Cooperation floods out. And then we can work on getting a solution, which we found this afternoon. It's beautiful. Because everyone was willing to find good in the other person's idea and not be stuck on their approach. It's a powerful thing for us to explore and test. I want you to practice these two things this week. This is your homework assignment. We're going to study Scroll 6. Scroll 6 we did a little bit with mental creation. We're going to study Scroll 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Because there will be times when you must constantly struggle against forces that would tear you down. And if you'd like to punctuate it with Scroll 7, I'll laugh at the world. That would be wonderful too. This is a place we're going to want to focus some energy. letting go of the need to be right, finding good in other people's ideas, setting commitments and keeping them, setting schedules and keeping them, because there's such resistance to structure, such resistance to scheduling. We want to start overriding those pieces. Now, just know, as I mentioned a few moments ago, these thought processes are dualistic, all nothing, right, wrong, win, lose. When we're in a space where we think we need to be right, you may even know we're right, ask yourself this question. Are principles posturing as truth? Almost always someone says, well, I would never do this. I'd only do this. I'd only do this. And it's because those are my principles. My principles. That's what I live my life by. And to not do that would be to compromise my principles. And my question is, wow, we can be so principally based, quote unquote, that we crush everyone we come in contact with. The very first principle we should embrace is loving our neighbor as ourself. And that requires that we find good in their idea, that we lift them and we build them, because the need to be right is not healthy. If we're in a relationship or we want to get something accomplished, we need the buy-in of everyone else, and that requires that we find good in their ideas. So if we're struggling in this area, that's something we're going to want to take a hard look at this week and just say, wow, am I using principles as an excuse for my need to be right? You'll notice in your assessment, these six measurements are at the bottom of a chart. There's a reason for that. Ideas are never more important than people. Never more important than people. People are at the top left-hand side. Discipline and structure is at the bottom left-hand side. Let's keep it in its proper perspective. Rules are important. Principles are important. But the overriding principle is that we honor people. And we protect people, and we lift, and we build people. Okay. A big deep breath. Ramona will be back with you next week. I want to open up this for any questions anyone has before we wrap up this evening. But be excited for Ramona, and if you'll support her. She's a little nervous about getting on the call with all of you. I just know she's going to be wonderful. I just love her with all my heart. She's an amazing human being. She is always peaceful. I have never, in 38 years of marriage, heard her raise her voice. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. You might want to quiz her and find out what's going on. Just ask her to tell you the unvarnished truth. Okay, let's open this up. Any questions tonight about these measurements? Or any comments about power sessions that you did this last week? Okay, well, I want to give you an opportunity to share. I'll look forward to being with you. Sorry for the technical challenges this evening with the telephone. I hope this has been helpful for you. This is, as I started this conversation, the place that we're going to want to look for our greatest challenge, because the things we want are generally right behind the things we're resisting, and these are the thought processes that create the resistance. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great evening. It's been great to be with you again, and Ramona will be with you next week, and then I'll be back the week after that, and we'll take on joy in the journey. Have a great night, everyone, and thank you. Bye-bye. Come off of mute and say goodnight, if you would, please.
Thanks, Dave. It's Bev.
Hi, Beth. Thank you.
That was great. Everything was very much on what's been happening lately. So there's a few ahas there. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Beth, be careful not to be too hard on yourself over it. had a wonderful conversation this morning with a client. They said, gosh, I'm doing this all the time. I said, well, you have thought processes, and just know that every one of these disciplined orange, remember, it's got creative, it's this good side, analytical, that obsessive thinking, the good side. I didn't mention this. Thank you for prompting me to say it. Analytical means we can think effortlessly. That's a gift. The shadow side is needing to be right. So we manage the shadow, we embrace the strength, embrace the ability to effortlessly think. It's powerful. But if we use it destructively and need to be right, we'll crush people. So if we have been, honor the gift. Be grateful for the gift. Don't beat yourself up over it. Just say, I'm going to learn how to manage this. I'm going to learn how to manage this more effectively, because it'll bless your life when it's managed effectively. Okay.
Well, a couple of things did. I did step back this week, and I went, oh, I don't have to be right on this. Somebody else might have an idea. It was on a design thing. And I went, well, you know, it actually looks pretty good that way, but I can let go of that. So, yeah, it's interesting. It was a totally different feeling. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Do come off mute and just say goodnight so I can hear your voice. I'd really love to hear from you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave.
Thank you.